Good morning, everybody. Happy Saturday. Welcome to Radio Top Tropicals, where we talk about and answer all of your questions regarding tropical fruits and plants, coming to you live from Southwest Florida. Before we start on today's topic, which is the medicine man, let's just do a little bit of homework real quickly. You can join us on our Mixlr site. That's mixlr.com/toptropicals. Where you can log in and send questions to us directly in the studio. We also have an events schedule at that Mixlr site, as well as showreel items, which is access to our past recordings. That's mixlr.com/toptropicals. As always, you can also call into our studio at 239-887-3323. Again, that's 239-887-3323. Our helpful staff will make sure your questions get to us and we'll answer them live on the air. Okay, so that's the homework. Today's topic, again, medicine man. And to introduce and discuss our topic is our host, international certified crop advisor and weed specialist, Robert Reifer. Robert, to you.
Okay, thank you very much. Today's topic will be medicine man. But first, a disclaimer, none of this information that we give to you should be thought of as sound medical advice. Of course, I've never heard anything that seemed like sound medical advice. And so we'll get started. There are many types of herbal remedies now out on the market. You'll see them in the health food store, etc., etc. Some of the historical medicines used are such things as lime juice for scurvy, which was a disease encountered by many sailors who were at sea for numbers of months. Imagine being able to get cured by a dermatologist. I don't think I've seen that in a while. In addition, there are other remedies to help lower blood pressure or to increase blood pressure. Green tea is an absolutely wonderful infusoria that you can use. And we sell green tea here at Top Tropicals. It is called Camellia sinensis, meaning Chinese. Camellia japonica, which is Japanese, are those beautiful flowers that you see that look like a rose that are raised in so many of the southern gardens that you see. We do here at Top Tropicals have many plants that will and can help depending on what you need to get. Not attempting to diss the herbal remedy market, but many times not listed is the concentration and purity of the various types of herbal remedies that you are getting. One case in point is that of saw palmetto, which people use for prostate problems. And what happens is you'll see a label that says all natural 100% pure palmetto berry. Well, here's the interesting thing about it. In a town called Immokalee, Florida, you will see these signs pop up soon. It says se compra bolitas, which means we buy little balls. That's what they call the saw palmetto fruit that they collect. The price generally starts out at about 10 cents a pound, and later on in the season can increase to as much as $3 a pound. So what some people do is take the 10 cent a pound berries, which have very little of the medicine, and then inject the distilled, once again, pure 100% palmetto berry extract and reinfuse it into the mix. So timing is essential. You wouldn't eat an apple that is unripe or any fruit that is unripe. So you really don't know what the timing is, where it's been picked, where it's been grown, and under what conditions. So if you're really set on trying a particular herbal remedy, might I suggest that you try and go to the source, be it a live plant or the dried leaves or fruit of that plant. This way, you are aware of how the plant has been processed, because you'll be doing it yourself. And many of the plants that are used in medicine today, believe it or not, are indeed poisonous. They are doing quite a lot of things with the apocynaceae, which comprise your frangipana and allamanda, other plants such as this. There is this old term of snake oil. However, if you examine, there's a man by the name of Mr. Haas. He has lived past age 100. He has been bitten by snakes over 100 and some times. And I'm not even sure if he's still alive today, but he lives in Southwest Florida. So many of these medicines that we have to date, your quinine, your aspirin, and many of the cancer-fighting drugs that are used today, have their origin from collected wild plants. In fact, the art in the industry is called wildcrafting. That's where you go out and obtain permission from the landowner and then select the various varieties you use. I did this myself. There is a beautiful cactus called Selenocereus grandiflorus. It blooms for only one night, generally in May and June. Has gorgeous white flowers almost 1 foot across, and it is pollinated by bats. This is used as a medicine for heart palpitation, where the foxglove or digitalis cannot be used. So I am convinced that every plant on this planet has a use, and it's been wonderful to see many of these wild plants, once thought of as weeds, actually curing people and extending their lives. And sir, I believe you had a comment.
Well, this is such an interesting topic, Robert. In a world where you see advertisements on television for prescription drugs by name, I think it's refreshing that we get back to natural solutions. And we're going to talk today about many different ones, specifically by name, that you can purchase, many of which, of course, right here at Top Tropicals. So let me bring the question back to the first one you mentioned, which was the green tea. For our listeners, how would that process work? How do they harvest the leaves? And what is that process where they could create their own green tea right from our plants?
Okay, it's relatively simple. You pinch the new growth of your green tea plant and let it get to a substantial size. And you just literally sun dry it, or dry it in a dehumidifier. From there, you can either grind it, pulverize it, or leave it as is. Keep it dry, and one thing to remember, in many of these infusoria, and infusoria is where you're taking the plant material and steeping it in water. Some plant materials you can steep in alcohol. That's also fun. And allow enough time for all of the ingredients in the plant to dissolve into whatever you're using as a solvent, be it alcohol or water. Stirring also helps to keep something constantly stirred. This will ensure that you once again do get enough of the drug. One of the major things that is absolutely baffling me in medicine today is the use of inoculations on children. back in the day, I'm about age 55, we maybe received 3 or 4 vaccines. Nowadays, they're getting 10 at a shot. And some people have claimed that there's mercury to preserve these various vaccines. Consider this. A vaccine tells an organism that it is under attack by a particular pathogen, be it a virus, a bacteria, whatever have you. Fine, they work absolutely excellent, and particularly the polio vaccine. But what organism walking around would be under simultaneous attack from 10 different sources? In my opinion, this just freaks out the body and may cause substantial problems. Now, for the health insurance industry, this is a good thing, because it cheapens the cost for every time you get your child vaccinated. And however, I just really don't see this as common sense. If I had a child, and once again, this is not to be taken as medical advice, I am not a doctor, I would tend to try and space out the vaccines. And just, you know, common sense, biological principles. We've also seen other drugs on the market, and I'm not familiar, we'll just call it drug X, where the lady advertises on TV, well, I'm a busy person and I just want to get a full year's supply of everything in one shot. The next thing you know, 2 years later, you have the attorneys advertising on TV, if you've taken this drug, we'll help you sue them. Just dial 1-900-BAD-DRUG or something like that. One other thing. You always see on the TV commercials, tell your doctor. Well, when the patient is telling their doctor what to prescribe for them, this kind of ruins the doctor-patient relationship, because now the doctor is the pusher and the patient is the junkie. I mean, it's like, tell your doctor to get you morphine. So basically, if you're going to go the traditional medical route, find a doctor you can trust. Bedside manner is absolutely unimportant to me. If the lady or gentleman can demonstrate a knowledge of what is ailing me and prescribe a common sense source of action, I'm more than happy to listen. But here at Top Tropicals, we have all sorts of plants, and we would be more than happy to ship you anything that you would like, legally, morally, and ethically, of course. We are indeed an ABC nursery, which is anything but citrus and anything but cannabis.
Ah, yes, the legal disclaimer. So we've talked a little bit about green tea, the benefits. Early in your presentation, you talked a little bit about plants that could reduce blood pressure. So let's go through a few different ones, problems that our listeners might have, and some plants that we might offer as a remedy.
Okay. One of the best ways of reducing blood pressure is to take a plant in a terracotta pot and throw it at the head of who's ever aggravating you. But given that, we also have a few, you know, all natural ideas. One of them is lemon juice. There is also there's also fresh red beet juice, which one of the people here has actually tried, and it lowered her blood pressure substantially in just a matter of 10 minutes. If you Google up our website and see us at Top Tropicals, we have full descriptions of the plants along with the picture showing you what items are considered as being good for high or low blood pressure. I'm the opposite. I had to pass a physical one time. In the morning, my blood pressure was 90 over 60. I said, give me 2 minutes. I went outside, smoked a cigarette, and we managed to get it up to like 110 over 70.
Yeah, that is the opposite problem of most people. So we have green tea plants. We have some plants that will help you with your blood pressure. A question that comes up frequently for, I think, the general population is, what about helping with sleep? Do we offer any solutions from the plant world for our listeners for their sleep problems?
Well, once again, it depends on the individual. And as far as sleep is concerned, there's something to remember. Right now, we have millions of people drugging themselves because they say they can't sleep at night. Well, I'm hitting that age around my 50s, and what I notice is I'm waking up every night at 2 o'clock in the morning. Well, if you look back at the old medical journals and digests, you will find that people actually have a two-sleep cycle during the night. Back in the old days, before the advent of the electric light, people would tend to sleep for maybe 4 or 5 hours, wake up, and actually do something, milk the cows or whatever, for a period of 1 to 2 hours, and then go back to sleep. In fact, during the day in the late 1800s, the medical journals suggested for couples attempting to conceive a child that they conceive after the first sleep cycle once they were rested, and they would have healthier libidos and be able to perform for each other a lot better. So consider this. If you find yourself waking up 2-3 o'clock in the morning, do something. It can be reading, anything relaxing, thinking. And I find I'm up maybe an hour and a half or 2 hours. I happen to enjoy astronomy. So if I'm up at 2 o'clock in the morning on a cloudless night, I'll take my telescope out, look at the universe, pack it back up, and get another 2-3 hours of sleep. And I feel rested and refreshed for the entire day.
It sounds like a good schedule, and it helps with your sleep, yes?
Yes.
Okay, how about, let's get to some smaller problems, and then there's some really good questions coming in. Do we have anything, any plants, that would help our listeners with a toothache? Specifically, a toothache plant, does that exist?
Yes, as a matter of fact, we do have and carry the toothache plant once again. Come see our Top Tropicals website. I've never used the toothache plant because where I work, I actually have dental. One fascinating thing, though, about dental care, if you take a look and examine many of the skulls of people who have died in the 1800s, 1900s even, you will find that their jaws are quite literally rotted out from tooth abscesses. The dental industry, in my opinion, is one of the most fantastic industries around. They have probably saved even more lives than doctors, because one of the major causes of natural death in the past was tooth abscess. So if you have a toothache, go see a professional for that one and see why there is a problem. This could lead to even more serious problems, including death, which can be quite the problem nowadays.
Death is a problem.
Yes.
Yeah, I agree. It's a terrible side effect. Okay, so we talked a little bit about sleep, toothache, the benefits of green tea. Let's move on to the big topic, the topic that so much medicine tries to address, and that is of serious disease such as cancer. Do we have plants here that we believe would help
with the fighting of the cancer disease.
Okay, once again, none of this is to be taken as medical advice. However, there are literally hundreds of plants being tested and in use today that are used for cancer and to also help some of the side effects of chemotherapy. One of the most often used to counteract side effects is something called miracle fruit. After eating one of these red-berried fruits, you can actually suck on a lime and it tastes sweet. However, a word of caution. I had a sadistic doctor friend that would pass out miracle fruits to people in bars. They would then drink their beer and be throwing up approximately half an hour later. So you need to be careful as to what you eat or drink along with some of these cures. The list of plants are quite literally across the board as to people who are attempting to either mitigate the effects of chemotherapy or are looking for natural cures. So basically the best thing is to see your oncologist, see what he recommends. One of the most amazing things, though, is, you know, Darwin thought that evolution turned amoebas into people. Yet, if you see your local oncologist, he's finding that random mutations tend to turn people into amoebas.
Yes. So, of course, with your medical disclaimer intact, a question we have regarding the soursop tree and its potential effects for cancer patients. What are your thoughts on that?
Okay, once again, people are individuals, and let's take a very common plant, the peanut. Even though I enjoy peanuts, have no real side effects or illnesses, to some people, this is an absolutely deadly poison. They refrain from having peanuts on airliners, for example. There are peanut-free zones. In fact, you will see disclaimers on many of the food products stating that this particular food contains peanuts or whey or milk for those who are lactose intolerant. So basically, you need to know what you are indeed allergic to. We had spoken in previous radio shows about the Chymus teratifolia, which is the Brazilian pepper plant, being related to mangoes. Well, some people are highly allergic to mangoes, and this particular plant has even been listed on the poisonous plants list for Florida due to these allergies. So, as with anything in life, care and caution, whether you're driving, engaging with a partner, etc. Care and caution are the rule.
And specifically the soursop tree, depending on what you may be allergic to, what are the potential benefits for people with that plant?
Potential benefits, again, depend solely on the individual. And the soursop may help and work out quite well. One thing you can do, and particularly if you live in Miami, is visit one of the fine Cuban grocery stores. There they have the soursop drinks. Now, we also sell soursops here at Top Tropicals, and if you want to grow your own, as the phrase goes, we'll be happy to ship you a soursop tree. However, more immediately, visit a fine grocery store, Google soursop, soursop drinks, try it, see if this particular drink will in fact help you.
Okay, and specific questions are coming in as well. What about an herbal remedy for a cough? Do we have some ideas on what we might offer our listeners for an herbal remedy for a cough?
Yes, there is two things you can use. One is called the musk bush, and we have it here. And it has a rather pungent aroma, hence the name. Also, there is the Karma Sutra neem tree. Well, neem tree is a very beautiful tree, somewhat cold tolerant. And the Karma Sutra ain't a bad book either.
And what are some of the benefits of the neem tree, speaking of that?
Neem oil is used as an insecticide, and the leaves are, it makes an absolutely beautiful plant. Now, one fascinating thing is there's a PhD I had the pleasure of working with who lived in Pakistan for a time. And even though the neem oil is used as an insecticide, when he was in groves of naturally growing neem trees, there was a particular type of yellow scale that was immune to the insecticide in the neem trees. And he said he would literally be covered with this scale after going through the grove where he was doing his research. He would have to brush himself off, hose himself off, and take about two showers just to get it all off. It was that bad. So, you know, it's like the anti-missile. For everything that is biologically occurring, there is a defense for. To give you an example, there is, at least in entomology, bugs called parasitoids, which basically attack parasites that are attacking your plant. Then there are hyperparasitoids, which attack the parasitoid attacking the parasite attacking your plant. It's like there's a frog on the log. No, there's a hair on the wart on the frog on the log in the hole in the bottom of the sea. So basically, there is actually in each and every garden a biological war taking place between the plants and animals.
Brings me back to my school days, the frog on the log. Tell me about a question we had. You talked a little bit about sleep aids or herbal remedies. A question we have is, can you really use passion fruit leaves to help you sleep? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, once again, with care and caution, give it a try. It may help one individual, it may help each individual differently, like with anything. Also, one of the curious things is that taste is actually genetic. There's even a chemically treated paper that they have some people try. Some people will taste sour, some people will taste sweet, others salty, others nothing at all. So the fact that one person likes broccoli, the other does not, is a function of genetics as far as what the individual tastes.
Okay, and we have another question that came in regarding aloe. Are all types of aloe edible?
No. Some of them do have poisons. Once again, as far as aloe is concerned, it is highly dependent upon the individual. What works for one individual will not work for another. Case in point would be antibiotics. For one individual, the antibiotic might be a miracle cure. For others, it could be a deadly serum. There are people so highly allergic to particular antibiotics that death occurs. So, and once again, none of this is to be considered medical advice. This is for your entertainment only. But I have found throughout the years that a little bit of common sense can, an ounce of common sense can outweigh a ton of calculations and hypotheses.
All right, to wrap up, we have a couple remaining questions here. Robert, there was a question regarding the Piper nigrum trees, and our listener had a question. Now that it is warm in South Carolina, can I move the remaining peppers outside and into what kind of sun? Can you help our listener with that question?
Yes, I would use dappled light. In other words, place it under a tree where alternating sun and shade will be on the pepper plant as it transits the sky, as the sun transits the sky. The Piper nigrum actually has roots that grow out of each node where you find the leaves on the vine. One thing I would like to see some of our listeners do is take some of the vine that normally you would put on a trellis and actually let it grow along the ground and see how well it roots. This will enable the vine to get more groceries out of the soil and possibly produce an even more robust plant.
Okay, and I think our last question here is, how long will it take for the rose apple to fruit, and what does it taste like?
Okay, the rose apple actually tastes like rose water. It tastes like you are eating a rose. It's a hollowed fruit with a 1 to 2 large seeds inside, and assuming excellent care, you should be able to, from a small-sized rose apple, be able to get a fruiting tree within 3 to 4 years.
Okay, Robert, thank you very much. Before we introduce tomorrow or next week's topic, just a quick note here from the management of Top Tropicals. We do have in stock a very rare plant, the elephant foot, the turtle shell, just a few remaining. So if this is of interest to you, be sure to get online and order that before we're out. And also today only, through the rest of today, Saturday, we have our macadamia trees on sale, fully $30 off the macadamia tree. So don't forget to take advantage of that just today only. And next week, let's see, next Saturday, Robert, will you introduce our topic for next week?
Yes. One of my favorite subjects, Coyote and Roadrunner. For those of you old enough to remember the Bugs Bunny Roadrunner show, you had the Roadrunner where the coyote's trying to catch and nail this Roadrunner and winds up halfway maiming himself. Of course, he never gets killed, even though he falls off a 3-story cliff and gets an anvil in the head. And the idea behind this is how to kill your pests and pathogens in the nursery and garden without killing and maiming yourself.
Very good topic. My favorite was the anvil. I've never seen an anvil other than in the coyote cartoons, so interesting. All right, well, thank you everybody for joining us. Don't forget, sign up for our newsletter at toptropicals.com. Find about the latest plants and the happenings at our garden center, as well as, of course, you're eligible for special discounts for newsletter readers only. That's it for this week. We will see you next Saturday, April 8th, for Coyote and the Roadrunner. Thanks, everybody, and we'll talk to you soon.